Blog Talk Radio.
For your mercy never fails. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I am the same of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am in, oh, oh, I am faithful of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire.
So I can take all these trips because Priceline has all these amazing deals.
I wonder what is that? Hallelujah. It should
have been in darkness now. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. Don't you ever I have been in the goodness of God. Hey, but so much you have been saved. Has anybody else had that testimony today? Oh, my life you have been so
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Got to just believe for it. Hallelujah.
They say this mountain can't be moved.
But we know differently.
They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do.
They don't know you like we do, Lord.
There is power,
in
your name.
In your name.
We've heard that there is a way.
There is a way.
We've heard the tide will never change.
We know better, Lord.
They haven't seen what you can do. There is power in your name. So much power in your name. Move the end of the world. Break the unbreakable. God, we pay for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we pay. God, we pay for it. We know that hope is ever lost.
That's what you have to know. You have to know there's power in the name of the Lord. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle Jesus Christ, called by the will of God, to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We truly happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to get started with a word of prayer. Then we'll get into what the word of God is saying to our hearts today. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Your word says, in everything give thanks. For this is your will. So, Father God, we want to thank you. We thank you, Father, that you have given us a strong heart. We thank you, Father God, that you've given us a strong mind. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us your word, because it is in your word, Father God, that we learn who we are and who we are. It is in your word, Father God, that we can agree with you and become one with you. Because of 1 Peter 1:23 says, we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. So therefore, Father God, we know that we've been forgiven of sin. And we know that Colossians 1:14 says that we've been washed in your blood. So I thank you. And for that reason, Father God, we can declare 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says that we're a new creation. That's what we are. We're going to build ourselves up. We're going to declare and decree what your word says we are. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that we are the temple for the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost don't have to stay with brick and mortar like he did in the Old Testament into the holiness of holiness. But, Father God, you placed it right in us. Why I say? Because you have delivered us, power of darkness, and you have translated us into your kingdom. And for that, Father God, I declare and decree that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. I thank you, Father God, for Romans 1:17. Because after we've been delivered, we know that we are saints. We know that the enemy ain't, but we are saints. So I thank you for it. I thank you that we are more than conquerors through you, through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through your word that strengthens us. I thank you for it, that we're sealed with the Holy Ghost. We're sealed with your promise. The devil can't take none of us. It has already been decreed and declared that we're your children, and you will keep us safe, and you will protect us. You will allow us to walk in the Spirit according to Galatians 5, 16, 17. You are our light, and we are your light. Because Matthew 5, 14 says that we are the light of the world. We'll sit on the hill that can't be hid. I thank you for it. I just declare, Father God, that your word is bigger than whatever I think and feel. So therefore, Father God, we stand in your word. We stand in your truth. Ask you right now, Father God, to allow those that are believing in healing to continue to cry out. Because Psalms 32 says, I cried out to you, Lord, and you will heal me. And I believe it, Father God. I believe that healing is available. I believe in miracles. I believe in the song that I played a moment ago, Father God, that we have to believe for it. I thank you, Father God, that you will help our unbelief, strengthens our unbelief. You, Lord, will bring us healing according to Jeremiah 33 and 6. We just believe in it. We believe that your word is bigger than anything that we can imagine or think. Your word is bigger than whatever Satan says. Lord, your word declared that sickness and disease, Matthew 4, 23 and 24, it says, Father God, that you are Lord over everything. That means you master. You the ruler. You even master over death. Death could not hold you. Thank you, Father God, that today someone will get an illuminating word. Someone will get a word and know it came from you and you only. Even though this voice may speak it, but truly it's coming from you. And for that reason, Father God, I honor you and glorify you because you deserve all the glory. You deserve all the praise. Let everything have breath, praise ye the Lord. So we're praising you for it. Unstop the deaf ears today. Open the eyes of those that are blind spiritually so they'll be able to see what you're doing in these last days. And these and all blessings we ask in your son's name. And everybody agreed, they did say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm excited. I wanted to continue on what we talked about last week, but the Lord is leading me in a direction, and I said, Lord, I'll say whatever you say. Whatever you tell me to say, Lord, I'll say it. And brother and sister, when you yield to the Lord and you made him Lord, you made him the master, the ruler, it ain't your show no more. John the Baptist said, I decrease so you can increase. We have to begin to let God increase in our life. And you ask, how is that done? Well, I'm glad you asked. See, once you surrender to God's way and not your way, and let me be real clear when I say that, because what I'm really talking about is God's perspective and not my perspective. A lot of times people want you to give them your perspective. Listen, brother and sister, you've been bought with a price. Your perspective should be that of God. A way of looking at or thinking about something should be predicated on the word of God. Because Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4 says the same thing. Men should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Some people, they think, oh, well, that person was rude. Well, wait a minute. Was they rude or was that your viewpoint? Because that person didn't agree with what you said,
Could that have been her viewpoint? Could that have been your viewpoint? Because we all have perspective, and I respect that. I respect everybody's outlook on it. I respect everybody's viewpoint on things. I respect whatever knowledge you have, your education, your degree. Listen, man, I respect it all. I respect the shoes you walk in. Maybe I can't walk in those shoes. I expect your views. I take notice. I respect your belief. You know, the only thing I ask you to do, respect mine. And mine is based on scripture. Can't live based on what I feel. That may be your perspective, but my perspective have to be that of God. Because the word says in Philippians 2:5, you must allow this mind to be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So my perspective, if you will, go beyond feeling. My perspective is my perception that is in the Word of God, if that's making sense. And that should be yours, too. Not just mine, but it should be yours, too. You don't have no answer. Your answer is predicated on what the Word says. I'm not changing it. No, not changing it. If the Word of God says, by His stripes, I'm healed, I'm standing. I don't care what it look like. I don't care what it feel like. I'm standing on what the Word of God says. That is my perspective. We all got perspective. So this week, we're going to talk about God perspective. But first and foremost, brothers and sisters, you got to understand that your perspective, the Word of God says. Like for instance, when the Word of God says, In John 18:36, Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servant would fight so that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. So you got to say, okay, well, what is he talking about? His kingdom. His government, how he does things. See, the world has a perspective, and then the Word of God has a perspective. And our perspective should be what God is, should be what Jesus is. So Jesus says that his kingdom, so what is his kingdom? What is his kingdom? You think all these church buildings is his kingdom? I come to serve notice on you today. They are not. How you know? Because of my perspective. My perspective is what the Word says. So when you're talking about God's kingdom, Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God. God's kingdom now. And you don't really know what the word kingdom means government, how he going to do things, how he going to operate, how God does things. So in Romans 14:17, he says this. He says, from the kingdom of God, God's kingdom, is not meat nor drink. So it's nothing you can taste or feel or whatever. That's not God's kingdom. But, I tell you, you got to pay attention to what's going to come after but it's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. So God's government operates under peace, righteousness, and joy, and all of that is in the Holy Ghost. So that's how God operates. So you can have your perspective. Please, I respect that. Just respect God's perspective. His perspective is his kingdom. It's not like the world's kingdom. That's why we got to refuse to become conformed to this world. do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's God's perspective. I mean, that don't mean God don't want you to live and have nice things and, you know, be comfortable. That's what that means. He wants you to get a good education. He wants you to get best prepared. He wants all of those good things for you because that's how he operates. God operates on better things, the greater things. And our eyes only limit us to things that we can touch, feel, see, smell, and hear. Stop limiting the God in you. Stop it. You're above that. You're above that. The Bible says that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not the Father, but the world. So you want to either accept that or you're not. You want to either believe God's perspective or you're not. And the world acts away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So when you make that decision that you want God's perspective on things, especially when it comes to worldly things, do you realize that 1 John 5:19, I'm gonna take my time. And then I think I'm going to start going over things because I know some of you write down the scriptures and I don't want to, and then you can always go back online, but, you know, and listen and get it as well. But I'm going to slow it down. I'm going to put it in another gear so that give you an opportunity to write stuff down. You realize the Bible says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one? Now the average person don't know that. They don't know controlling the weather. But guess what? We know who controlling the weather that control them, which is God. But see, God is so righteous. He's so good. Even though Adam, he didn't really get tricked. Eve got tricked. Even though Adam lost the world, because, see, that's what God had made him for, to take care of the world, but he got tricked and Satan took his job. Don't know that little story there. So it became his. So God didn't snatch it away from him. Remember over in Genesis, he told him, I like to say that was God's prophecy. He told Satan, he said, okay, since you did what you did, the heel of the woman going to bruise your head, and you're going to bruise his heel. So we'll bruise Satan's head. But Satan had the power now because Adam gave it to me. So when the Bible talks about the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, the Bible's correct. Because Adam gave that over. So when you see the weather changes and all this kind of stuff, Lucifer is over that stuff. God is over Lucifer. Let me be clear, because I don't want anybody to get the wrong perspective when it comes to the Word of God. God is just an honest and truthful God. So you think God would kill up all these people with a tornado? But you think he got to beat you up and get your attention? Who have bamboozled you? Who have bamboozled you to get you to think that God will kill up, but you won't kill yours? That's a joke. Who have bamboozled you to think that God would freeze you to death? But then you got sense enough to put a blanket on a dog. Who have bewitched you? You see how so it's very important that we get God's perspective on things. But when the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. What do you think they're talking about? You think they're talking about your little club? No. Brothers and sisters, this is a spiritual war you're in. And you're dealing with Satan, Lucifer, the adversary. You can call him what you want to call him. I may give y'all God. See, Jesus said to Satan, I saw you fall as an angel of light. He saw him fall. He saw him imitate him. Even today, Satan hadn't stopped. He's still getting people to become conformed to a system that's not of God. The Bible says the light comes into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. See, once you come to the light, truth is gonna overweigh everything else. Yeah, it will expose it. Trust me, it will. Very important that we know that. You remember when Jesus said to Peter, "Get hence behind me, Satan." He was talking to Peter now. He wasn't talking to Satan. He was talking to Peter. And then turn around, and he's talking to Satan. All in that same breath. But people can't see that because they got the wrong perspective. The Bible says he, now this over in Matthew 16:23. Let me say that again, Matthew 16:23. I don't want you to think I'm just throwing you something you're not knowing where it's at. Matthew 16:23. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, talking to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for ye are not mindful of the things of God, but the light, the things of men." And here's my point. When will you become mindful of the things of God? When? So the question is, what is your perspective? Be mindful of the things of God. Have the same perspective God has. That's what I got to do. Have the same perspective. If God said he made Jesus to be sin, that boy, I tell you, that's what he did. That's my perspective as well. You know, I was reading Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," that's the Spirit, "unto a good work, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." This God perspective that we walk in these things. Remember, you used to be a Gentile in the flesh. You used to be part of the uncircumcision. But now, you're on God's side now. You're on God's team now. So we're going to talk about these different perspectives, and mainly God's perspective. At some point in time, we got to take this scripture here for what it means. "For you are not mindful of the things of God." What a word to say to your disciple, somebody who followed you, somebody who watched you take bread and make bread, someone who watched you take some saliva, and some dirt, put it on a man's eye, and told him to go to the pool of Bethesda and wash. And the man said, "I was blind, but now I see." What is that to say to somebody who watched you take two fish and five barley loaves and feed 5,000 men and made you help set them down in 50. And then you would say to him, you're not mindful of the things of God. I look at people today who've been born again, but they're not mindful of the things of God. Have that mindset. They flip back over to the world way of thinking rather than continue to think God's way. You thought that way when you got saved. You thought that way when you got delivered. And then some folk cry, oh, Jesus, save me, Lord. Well, he turned around and saved you, and you forget the mindset. That's why Jesus told Peter. He said, Peter, before the cock crow three times, you're going to deny me. Oh, Lord, not me. See, I see that every day. People, oh, no, Lord, not me. I'm going to be with you all the way to the end. And the moment a situation arrives, the moment chaotic condition arrives, the moment a situation arrives that we can't handle, in other words, perilous time, hard times, then the only thing we want to resort to is the things of the world. My question then is, well, you're not mindful of the things of God. So when you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man, then you are working under the authority and the auspices of Satan. You're working under the tutelage, if you will, of Lucifer. So Jesus would say to you, get behind me, Satan. He'll call you out your name because he'll see what spirit is operating in you. See, that's the key right there. I talked to a young lady just today, and we were talking about the different spirits in people. See, you got to be able to discern that. History, in spite of culture, you got to be able to say, that's the kind of spirit is in that person. So you can say like Jesus, they're not mindful of you, Lord. That's not you. That's not who you are. See, you can't halfway believe God and then not believe the other half. No, it's the whole. See, the Bible is for believers, especially the New Testament. So we have to get God's perspective. So our perspective as a believer, it should be changed in that same image. You know what? Let me say this. Our perspective should be to identify. I'm going to probably put a pen here, but our perspective is to identify with Christ. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified. See, once you start this journey, it get hard. Let me tell you, getting saved is one thing, but boy, on this journey, it get hard. But guess what? You're going to overcome, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You're going to overcome. I shared this with somebody. You know, life get harder and harder. It's how you manage those hard times. Can I say that one more time? It ain't the fact that it's going to get any easier. Be real with yourself. Stop playing with yourself. Stop tricking yourself. Stop bamboozling your own self. Stop being a deceiver of your own self. You know things get harder. If you take a subject today, it doesn't matter what it is. When you started first grade, when you started kindergarten. But when you got to the fifth grade, it was different. It was harder. But you learned how to manage it. When you got to the eighth grade, it was harder. But you learned how to manage it. And for those that was able to make it to the 12th grade and graduated, yes, it got harder, but you managed it. You was on your own. They were treating you like you were grown. When you was in the fifth grade, they would help you with your paperwork. But you got to the 12th grade with nobody, and you looking around, who going to help me? How? No, you got to figure it out. It got harder. And then when you got into college, it got harder. Come on, brothers and sisters. This is just life principles you're dealing with. Your marriage started off easy, but as it went on, it got harder. You had to deal with his snoring. You had to deal with her sneakiness. She was being sneaky. And you didn't know why. She could have been doing that to protect the marriage, to protect what you had. But you had to deal with it, and then you had to understand that it got harder, but you learned how to deal with it. You got children. When they were young, it was okay. But as they grew up and life began to change and their bodies began to change, their mindset, it became harder as a parent. But guess what? You learn how to deal with it. But the question was, are you going to deal with life per the scripture? Are you going to have the mindset that God said to have? Are you going to be like Peter, just always running to the flesh? It's funny. Them soldiers came to get Jesus. They came to get Jesus. Peter pulled his sword out to cut the Roman soldier's ear off, cut it off. Jesus had to reach down there, pick it up, sew it back, and the Bible said there wasn't a stitch shown. And that's miracle stuff right there. Put that ear back on, blood stopped bleeding, all the veins and everything hooked back up, so the prophet hearing better now than he heard before. The Roman soldier I'm talking about. Because see, he identified who Peter was at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. When they was pointing folks out, they said, "You one of them?" He said, "No, not." He said, "You one that Roman soldier? Remember who cut him? See, you get cut with a knife and you lose your ear. Trust me, you will remember." So that soldier remember who it was. Oh yeah, you one. Even your speech betray you. I remember you because you cut my ear off. See, that's Bible. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. Let's not be conformed to this world. Romans 12:2 says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Okay. But we're going to leave it right there. But today we're talking about God's perspective. And so this week, that's what we're going to deal with. God's perspective. And if you're going to use God's perspective, what Jesus just said, Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God." You notice he didn't say himself. Jesus had a pretty good reputation now. Very good reputation. They all knew. The fame went out into all this earth, what he was doing. They know Jesus wasn't no joke. He was healing and raising the dead, doing all the kind. But he had nothing about himself. Please hear that. Please read that scripture. He wasn't talking about, because a lot of times people talking about Jesus this and Jesus that. Jesus put the light on his Father. He said to Peter, "This powerful, if you never seen it like that. For ye are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." So what is your perspective? Is it what man say or what God said? Okay, we're open for discussion. Talk about anything you want to talk about. Share anything you like to share. If there's something I've said today you want clarity, come on with it. Just press 1. Hallelujah. Anybody want to comment? Anybody want to help the body of Christ? Anyone feel the need to help me to make sure that whatever I said, there's clarity there? See, the word of God is important to me. To be like that, I'm going to hear what God got to say about it. I mean, don't get me wrong now. I understand there's a whole lot going on the, that's trending. But I'm going to hear what God got to say about some stuff. That's where I'm at. Okay, Evangelist Sharon.
Yes. Good afternoon to everyone, and God bless. It's been powerful since you played this song, but God's perspective is the only perspective, the only way. So, I mean, you don't have to change your mind or think about it or conflate or any of that if you use God's perspective all the time. Too much work, you know, when God has all the power to do everything. Thank you for this message. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Anyone else care to share? God dropped something in your spirit, anything. Hallelujah. Yeah, see, this is what you don't get in churches, in an organized church. A preacher just stop and say, okay, let's talk about it. You don't get that. But that's the kind of teaching Jesus did. He rightly divided the word of truth. He allowed Peter to act, but Peter, instead of him saying what the word of God said, he said something what the devil said. So he had to chop him up right there. A lot of times, yesterday, I know Pastor said, you know, about living, God have given us 70 by reason of health and strength. So you got young people, 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60. People talking about, well, you know, God didn't have to. Yeah, God promised you that. He promised you 70. So why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want to say that? Because you're so tied into tradition. Or because your auntie said it, or uncle said it, or your pastor, or whatever. No, you want your perspective of what the Word of God says. So if the Word of God says he's giving you 70, that's 70 years, then that should be your outlook. That should be your conversation. That should be what you're spewing out of your mouth, not the Lord didn't promise. He did promise it to you. You just ain't ready. He promised it to you.
Amen.
That's his perspective. He said, I'm giving you 70. And you walk on here, well, the Lord didn't promise me. He did promise. Stop the lie. He promised it to you. That's a vow. When somebody promised us, that's a vow. That's what he did. He vowed. That if you do according to the word of God, you'll have 70. And then you got a bunch of people, they teaching their children that. And then they teaching their children that. And that's why they're dying out so young, because they got the wrong perspective. Get God's perspective and say, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be happy. I was talking to the sister, and she said, you know, and we both agreed, but she said it. She said, you know, she was telling somebody at some church or something that it was her choice to be happy. And I thought about it. You know, God wants us to be happy. Choice now. Just like living 70, that's your choice. You don't have, the Bible says in Deuteronomy, choose this day. See, so you got some choices here. You can choose to say that because, see, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So keep on eating them that bad stuff. That's what you're going to have. Then you can flip the script and start eating good stuff, see?
Amen.
So it's God's perspective you want. See, what you feel, I don't feel nothing. It's God's perspective. What does the Word of God say? Well, if you don't know what it's saying, then I'll look it up and see. I mean, it ain't that I got all this stuff in my head. I go down here, I may have to spend countless hours trying to find it. But I'll find it because I want to know God's perspective. That's how much I love the Lord. I want to know what he feeling about, what he thinking about, what his views on it, what his
conviction.
When you love somebody, when you love someone, you're concerned about what they're concerned about. Last time I checked, if they hurt you,
if they
crying, you got a handkerchief. If they got a headache, you're laying hands or you got some Aleve or Tylenol because they hurt, you hurt.
That's
which
right.
One of you all got children and tell me your child don't hurt? I don't care how bad they are. I don't care. Tell what they did. They hurt, you hurt.
Amen, amen.
Real talk, man. God hurt for us. He hurt for us. That's why he sent Jesus. God wasn't taking it no longer. Y'all not going to keep on beating up on my children. I'm going to give them power. I'm to tread over Satan's work. See? That's God's perspective, which is the word of God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. I tell you, boy, I'm free today. We'll rock this thing if you want to. Anybody else? Praise God. Just press 1. We got a good signal, got good audio. Press 1. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Now, I tell you what, we'll see you all on tomorrow.